Straight Talk from Israel.
You're listening to Israel News Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Science of Kabbalah with your hosts, Rabbi Yitzhak Michelson and William Hall, here on Israel News Talk Radio.
Welcome, everyone, to the Science of Kabbalah. This is Rabbi Yitzhak, and usually I'm along with William Hall. William is going to, God willing, be joining me in the first segment. He's dealing with a situation right now on the other line, so he should be with us shortly. I want to thank everybody for tuning in every week to the Science of Kabbalah. We are dealing with a heat wave here in Israel. I don't know what it's like in the part of the world that you're living in, but very hot here in Israel. A lot going on. We're in the midst of the 9 days, coming up to the 9th of Av. Very mournful time in Judaism, mourning the destruction of the temples. And yesterday here in Israel, we had the Halula, or the Yahrzeit of the Ari HaKadosh, the Ari we talk about often on this show. The Ari, Rabbi Yitzhak Luria Ashkenazi, who gave us, through Rabbi Chaim Vital, his main student, much of what we know of Kabbalah today, who was buried just below where I live here in the holy city of Tzfat. So we have that right in the midst of the 9 days. Just so many things going on. This is probably one of the weirdest shows that I'm going to do. You know, we often come up with kind of strange kind of connections and try to tie everything together at the end. So this one was prompted really by the garden that I'm growing in front of my house. Thank God we're getting some beautiful cucumbers, but there was one cucumber that was hidden and I couldn't see it for days, and it really grew very, very large. And then I posted a picture on Facebook, and one of my friends here in Israel said, leave the cucumber there for the cats, because cats don't like them. And he posted a YouTube video of these cats eating their food, and I guess their owner's putting a cucumber behind them while they're eating, and the cat would turn around, and literally the cat would fly up in the air, maybe 4 or 5 feet in the air. And I couldn't understand it, so I Googled, why would cats be afraid of cucumbers? And it turns out that cucumbers resemble snakes to cats. And you shouldn't try this at home, because they say that it can cause problems, emotional problems for your cat. So don't try this. Now you're asking me, what does that have to do with anything? Well, this prompted me to think about snakes, and this prompted me to think about anti-Semitism and the snake bite of anti-Semitism. And so when we come back from the break, we're going to be talking about snakes, snake bites, anti-Semitism, and the chaos that's going on in the world. It's going to be a very interesting show, so stay with us. We'll be right back here on the Science of Kabbalah on IsraelNewsTalkRadio.com.
Israel is located in one of the most volatile areas in the world. Israel is an island of stability in a sea of war and unrest. In the midst of this turmoil, Israel stands out as a beacon of order and human progress. Each week we update you on what's happening in this, the Jewish state, a true light unto the nations. This is Jay Shapiro. Join me every Thursday on Israel News Talk Radio.
Welcome back to Science of Kabbalah with Rabbi Yitzhak Michelson and William Hall here on Israel News Talk Radio.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Science of Kabbalah here on IsraelNewsTalkRadio.com. This is Rabbi Yitzhak, and I thought we were going to have William with us after he dealt with the thing in his office, but I have somebody, I don't want to say better, because that's always not nice to say somebody better, but I have somebody closer, somebody sitting right next to me, my amazing wife, Leah Michelson.
Shalom, everyone. It's wonderful to be here with you all.
Welcome back.
It's good to be back.
It's good to have you. So you know the story. I was talking in the intro about the cucumbers. And of course, you know, because we're growing a garden in the front of the house, and you saw the post, maybe you saw the post Jonah Pressman put up, our friend Jonah, in Yerushalayim, where he put up the post about the cats leaving the cucumber for the cats. And then I told you that I saw this amazing video that he put up where cats just lost their minds over having a cucumber near them when they turned around and saw that their owners had put a cucumber
right
there. And I Googled it. It turns out that cucumbers look like snakes to cats. And I said it was going to be, you know, I try to tie strange things together sometimes in Kabbalah. But I'm calling this one the snake bite of anti-Semitism. And you might say, well, what does this have to do with anything?
I'm intrigued.
Well, you said that when you heard me doing the intro. So look, we know that there is craziness going all around. I was sitting in, you know, I help our good friend Rabbi Gedalia Flair does a class on Sunday nights. And we were talking a little bit after the class about the class was on Ratzon, on the power of will. And also he brings in a lot of Kabbalah. But we were talking about conflict. And I made a comment about the concept of chaos. And there's something called a chaos theory that is related to mathematics. And believe it or not, people see chaos as disjointed and where there wouldn't seem to be any kind of connection. And yet the chaos theory tells you just the opposite, that there is an interconnectedness. And there is things that are similar to each other related to chaos.
So would it be likened to similar like an equation or?
It could be an equation. And so when you're looking at it like this, when you bring in the concept of chaos, we see chaotic situations going on all over the world right now. We don't so much see it in Israel. In Israel, we see a lot of protests going on, but the protests that are going on are against the government because of the economic situation, because so many people are out of work because of the pandemic.
Right. Not against one another.
Not against one another. And we certainly don't see anti-Semitism in Israel the way we see in other countries. What I find interesting in the midst of this chaos is the idea that something that is supposed to be anti-racist has turned into something anti-Semitic. In other words, most of these protests that we see out there today are protests that are supposed to be fueled by this concept of Black Lives Matter and this organization called Black Lives Matter. But on the other hand, there is chaos going on. So, for instance, I was listening to somebody talking, and this was a journalist, and the journalist said, I was driving through Los Angeles, and I saw this protest that was taking place at 2 o'clock in the afternoon on Wilshire Boulevard, and her 15-year-old looked and said, this is what a protest should look like, because all the people were gathered together, and they were carrying signs, and they were all moving in the same direction. 2 o'clock in the afternoon. They had a message that they were trying to get across. It's not about whether or not we agree with the message or not, but they had a message and they were trying to bring their message across. What we're seeing going on in the rest of the world in some places is going on at 1 o'clock in the morning, 2 o'clock in the morning, 3 o'clock in the morning. This is not peaceful protest that's going on at 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning.
No, it's more of attacks and fires and people running amok.
Right. So then I started thinking about it. You look at a place like Portland, Oregon. So Portland, Oregon, I don't know if people realize this, but we didn't see anything happening in Portland. It wasn't like the situation with George Floyd, which was a terrible thing, or any of these other cities where there have been attacks on innocent people by police. And we recognize that there are bad policemen. For the most part, most police are good. But there are bad policemen, and so things happen, terrible things happen. But in Portland, none of this happened, and yet we're seeing craziness go on. I don't know if people realize that Portland, for the most part, is 80% white. And if you look at the protests, these so-called peaceful protests right now, you look at it, almost everybody you see in those crowds are white. Now, they can say, oh, I support the Black Lives Matter movement, and I support this notion that that people, the police shouldn't be attacking people and killing people. 100%. I would agree with that too. I would march in support of that. I think every life matters, and I know people get mad when we say those kind of things. And certainly Jewish people can never minimize these things. And I think people need to remember another point. And that is that the NAACP was founded in the most part with the help of the Jewish community. And I think it's also interesting that the NAACP came out today and they even said that they're seeing these protests and they're seeing mostly white people. And they say, okay, you support our mission. You support what we're about. How about asking us? How about asking us how we feel? How about getting us involved in this rather than you going out as white people and trying to say that this is what you're supporting? Because certainly if you're going and destroying property and attacking police, this is not, I believe, what that movement was originally about.
Right. But I think people are using it as an excuse.
Mm-hmm. So the question is, how does this tie in? Why does a movement like this, why does suddenly things become anti-Semitic? Why does something that's supposed to be anti-racist, when, like I said, the Jewish community was very involved in building the NAACP? And if you look at the marches with Dr. King many, many years ago when I was younger, who was it that was marching alongside Dr. King? It was the Jewish community. It was rabbis. There were Sifrei Torah. There were Torah scrolls that were being marched along with those peoples. The Jewish community was very big in the civil rights movement of the 60s, the most supportive of the civil rights movement. So I think it's interesting now that we have seen a complete shift and what we call hafuch, mm-hmm, here in Israel, where everything kind of turned upside down and topsy-turvy on its head. And now we have this concept of anti-Semitism that's come in. And not just anti-Semitism, but anti-Semitism that's fueled by anti-Torah. And people would say, no, for instance, like Louis Farrakhan just did a big speech on July 4th. And I suffered through the whole thing. It was quite a number of hours, and I suffered through it because I wanted to see how bad it would get. And he waited until he decided to bring his attack on the Jewish community. And then he did, and he started attacking the Talmud. And I think that's interesting because a lot of times we see anti-Semitism that comes in that form, in kind of an anti-Talmud sort of way. Now, I don't know if people realize this, but this is the same thing that the Nazis, Yimach Shemem, did themselves. They also, Hitler himself, would bring up the Talmud and use that as a basis for the anti-Semitism, claiming that the Jews use the Talmud to have a separate set of rules or a separate set of morals for the Jewish people as it relates to how they interacted with each other as opposed to how they interacted with the rest of the world. So you have a guy like Farrakhan, you have all these things that are going on. I found this quote today looking at it that they say it's a quote that nobody can find a source for. And if you were to Google this, it's called Libra David 37. If you were to Google that, you would find it related to all kinds of anti-Zionist, white supremacist groups, anti-Semitic groups still promoting this kind of thing, where it says, if a Jew wishes to explain some of the rabbinic literature, he must only provide a false explanation. And one who transgresses this commandment will be put to death, providing information about our attitude toward the Gentile religion would be equivalent to killing all the Jews. For if the Gentiles would know what we teach about them, they would kill us. That's actually a quote under the heading Libra David 37, and yet this quote doesn't exist anywhere. It doesn't exist in Jewish thought. It doesn't exist in rabbinic text. It doesn't exist in the Talmud, and yet it's used all the time to promote this concept of anti-Semitism that we're talking about. So we go back to a guy like Farrakhan, and Farrakhan is promoting, he actually calls us Talmudic Satanic Jews and calls like people like Jeffrey Epstein and Harvey Weinstein and the scandals related to them. He calls them Talmudic Satanic Jews, and that we don't do anything. And they think that somehow that the Talmud makes their conduct correct. Nothing could be further from the truth. Nothing could be further from the truth. The Talmud actually speaks very strongly against concepts like pedophilia and homosexuality and sex trafficking and prostitution and all of the kind of things that he tries to attribute to us by misquoting, he does in order to bring an anti-Semitic agenda. So we're going to have to go to a break, but when we come back, I hope you'll be a little bit more involved.
Yes.
when we come back from the break, I want to talk more about this and get into the whole a little bit of Rebbe Nachman and this whole idea of snake bite and what the snake bite of anti-Semitism is all about. So stay with us. We'll be right back on the Science of Kabbalah and IsraelNewsTalkRadio.com.
The Tamar Yonah Show.
Tamar? She's sassy.
She's smart.
She's funny.
But she's also a real Jewish mother.
Hi, everybody. I'm Tamar Yonah. And yes, I can be all of those things. But at Israel News Talk Radio, I'm here to bring you the news stories and guests that you may not hear anywhere else. Join me live on air Sundays, Mondays, and Tuesdays for the most unique and bold talk radio in Israel.
The Tamar Yonah Show.
The return of the Jewish people to the land of Israel was prophesied in the Bible thousands of years ago and is coming true today. Shalom. Join me, Josh Wander, on Israel Unplugged. Listen in as we delve into the spiritual and physical aspects of the Jewish return to Zion. We'll discuss the biblically mandated, historic, and of course practical understandings of this incredible transition from exile to redemption. That's Israel Unplugged, every Monday on IsraelNewsTalkRadio.com.
Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Did you know this psalm and many others were composed by a Jewish shepherd and musician who later became a king? Would you like to know some of the inner meanings of psalms to help you connect with God and strengthen your soul? An exciting and easy-to-read book is now available, which will help you do just that. Software for the Soul, Psalms for Everyone, available on Kindle, Audible, and Amazon.com. Software for the Soul.
Modesty at the beach? It isn't just about body image. It's about feeling good. Modest swimsuits, so we don't get burned by the sun.
So we won't get ogled by strangers.
So we'll feel free to express ourselves without the need to expose ourselves.
Let Marcy Modest help you to cover up what you want, how you want.
Made in Israel.
Visit MarcyModest.com. That's MarseaModest.com.
And get a 10% discount on your first purchase.
Two new shows on Israel News Talk Radio.
The return of the Jewish people to the land of Israel was prophesied in the Bible thousands of years ago and is coming true today. Shalom. Join me, Josh Wander, on Israel Unplugged. Listen in as we delve into the spiritual and physical aspects of the Jewish return to Zion. We'll discuss the biblically mandated, historic, and of course practical understandings of this incredible transition from exile to redemption. That's Israel Unplugged, every Monday on IsraelNewsTalkRadio.com.
How did a nice Jewish girl from Delaware end up living in Israel? Shalom, I'm Natalie Sapinski. Join me on my show, Returning Home. Meet different people who have moved to Israel. Hear their personal stories, their highs, their lows, and everything in between. Each week, we talk to experts on immigration and the process of moving to Israel. Listen to Returning Home every Thursday, only on Israel News Talk Radio.
Welcome back to Science of Kabbalah with Rabbi Yitzchak Michelson and William Hall here on Israel News Talk Radio.
Shalom and welcome back to the Science of Kabbalah. And in our previous segment, I know my husband was asking me, hoping I would interject a little bit more, but I was just kind of floored with the things that he was talking about and talking about the anti-Semitism and Farrakhan and how Farrakhan talks about Jews as being satanic Jews and the things that he's doing and the things that he's spreading. And I was thinking of the snake. You had brought up the snake and him, how Farrakhan is a type of snake and how the things that he's spreading poison. He's biting so many people with his words, and there is such power in speech, and he's spreading so much poison. But you had brought up there's two different types of snakes.
Right. So you just brought up a very interesting thing, as you said, that just made me think, because you talked about the power of speech and the power in words. I wanted to talk a little bit about this. In Torah 57, Rabbi Nachman and Likutei Maharan talks about the idea that every word from the mouth of Hashem, every word from the mouth of God, basically creates a malach, basically creates an angel or a messenger. I like messenger better in this interpretation. And he really brings this Torah in the idea of healing. We know that in Kabbalah, we talk about a right side and left side. As it relates to these messengers, Rabbi Nachman says that the right hand of the messenger is for transmitting, and the left hand is for receiving. And each one of these messengers is related to, let's say, grasses, because grasses and herbs and things like that were used for healing back in the day, and certainly in the times of the Talmud.
And they're used today as well.
Right. And so from a Kabbalistic perspective, these messengers or these malachim that were in charge of this, that were in charge of these grasses, because we believe that every messenger, every malach has a particular purpose. It has a particular job that Hashem gives it. And so if that malach is in charge of those grasses, the question is whether or not the speech we use blemishes the ability for that malach to complete their job. Meaning that if the faith we have is blemished, according to Rabbi Nachman and according to the Kabbalah, what ends up happening is the right hand or the left hand or both hands of that malach are impaired from either receiving power from Hashem and then being able to transmit that power to the grasses that bring that healing.
Right. And I'm trying to remember. I know we talked about this, and I don't remember where it is, but we had talked about each blade of grass is significant.
Mm-hmm.
Not as a whole, but I mean, as a whole, but individually, each one is significant.
Right. You could almost say that you could make the point that in the same way that Hashem puts the stars in the heavens, and there are stars that are set apart for particular things here on the earth. It could be also for grasses. It could be for plants. It could be for herbs. It could be for healing. The same way we're talking about the malachim, these messengers that are created, you could say that one could be related to one particular blade of grass or one particular leaf or one particular herb that's going to be for healing. The important thing to note, and that's why when you said the power of speech, I thought it was important, because when you're talking about the snake and you're talking about the snake bite, Farrakhan is using his words and it's like a snake bite in that he's producing poison, like you said. And so he's blemishing the word of God. He thinks that he can attack the Jewish people and he can attack the Torah and he can come against the Talmud and think that that's okay. And that's why when you say there are different types of snakes, that's the beauty of learning the Kabbalah, that we know that in the Eitz Chaim, we talk about this quite often, that there's a right side to the tree of life and there's a left side to the tree of life. We have Chesed on one side and we have Gevurah on the other side. We have right and left. We have a side of loving kindness. We have a side of judgment. There has to be a balance in that. And so we're always talking about these tensions that go on between the right side and the left side. So when you're talking about two different types of snakes, we're talking about a snake like Farrakhan that puts out this poison. Rabbi Nachman talks about in Likutei Maharan, specifically this Torah 57, but it's also spoken of in several places in the Talmud as well, the snake bite of the rabbis. So there are two different places.
So a good bite.
Well, it's not really a good bite. Okay. It's actually the snake bite of the rabbis is actually a snake bite that's incurable.
Ah.
But what it's related to, so there's two places. One of the places that we first see it in is in Masechet Shabbat, in the section of the Talmud about the laws of Shabbat. It starts in Shabbat 109 and then goes into Shabbat 110. In Shabbat 109, the rabbis are talking about different cures for snake bites. That if a person gets a snake bite, you can try this cure, you can try that cure. So it says, after it gives this in, this whole list, in Shabbat 110, it talks about this Jewish official from Pumbatita. And this Jewish official from Pumbatita gets bitten by a snake. And he knows that he needs to find a white donkey. And the white donkey has to be kasher. It has to be a kosher donkey. It can't be treif. He can't find a white donkey. And then he finds out that there's a white donkey on the other side of town. And he goes, and just before he gets there, it turns out that that donkey was eaten by a lion. And so the question is then asked, did he get bitten by the snake of the rabbis? Meaning that what it was really trying to come and teach us was that this was a Jewish official that mocked the rabbis, that mocked their authority, and didn't recognize the authority of the Torah Shebaal Peh, the authority of the oral Torah. That he thought that there was the written Torah and that that was all that mattered, and he ignored the rabbis and the authority that they... Now, Rabbi Nachman talks about this concept after he talks about the power of speech that we talked about and this idea of bringing healing and so forth. He then says that, and he actually says this, he says that when someone blemishes his faith in the sages, in the Torah sages, and violates their restrictions, because we know that the rabbis, according to the Torah, in Deuteronomy, in the book of Deuteronomy, were given authority to make what we call fences. And they were made these fences in order to protect us. When we have laws, for instance, of not violating the Shabbat, they gave us fences around the laws to make sure that we didn't do things, that we didn't come to do something that we weren't supposed to do on Shabbat. So they made these restrictions.
Like a guideline.
Like a guideline or an enactment.
Right.
So he goes on to say that when a person such as this, when they blemish faith or they violate the restrictions of the rabbis, his punishment has no cure in the aspect of perhaps a snake of the sage has bitten him, for which there is no cure. And Rabbi Nachman there quotes another section of the Talmud, which comes from Avodah Zarah 27. And in Avodah Zarah 27, this is about also the concept of a snake bite. And there it says, it brings a braita, something from the outside that wasn't in the Mishnah. And it says that there was an incident involving somebody named Ben Dama, the son of Rabbi Yishmael's sister, in which a snake bit him. And then there was Yaakov of the village of Sechanya. Now, it's interesting that our rabbis believe that this Yaakov of the village of Sechanya was actually... realize Avodah Zarah is talking about idol worship.
Right.
And this is talking about our relationship with heretics. And this is really talking about whether or not somebody should be involved in being healed by somebody who's a heretic. And this is really talking about somebody who's an idol worshiper. This Yaakov of the village of Sechanya was actually believed to be a disciple of Jesus.
Oh, interesting.
And he was called the heretic. And it says that Yaakov of the village of Sechanya came to meet him, but Rabbi Yishmael did not let him do anything and said to him, Rabbi Yishmael, my brother, let him, in other words, let him treat me and I will be healed by him. And I will cite a verse from the Torah that is permitted, but Ben Dama did not manage to complete the statement before his soul departed and he died. And what this is trying to bring out is that this basically, It goes on and it says, Rabbi Yishmael recited with regard to him, fortunate are you, Ben Dama, in your as your body is pure and your soul departed in purity, and you did not transgress the statement of your colleagues, who would state, and who breaks through a fence, a snake shall bite him. From Kohelet, from the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 10, verse 8. We're going to have to go to a break, but when we come back, we're going to speak more about this, about what we just read in Ecclesiastes, and some more about what Rabbi Nachman is talking about, and see if we can tie this whole thing together. So stay with us. We'll be right back with the final segment of The Science of Kabbalah here on IsraelNewsTalkRadio.com.
In a time where feelings have become fact, where rational thought and common sense has disappeared, one man stands above it all.
I'm Howie Sobiker, your political hitman.
Political Hitman airs every Tuesday at 11:59 p.m. North American time, 7 a.m. Israeli time, only on Israel News Talk Radio.
Are you interested in transforming your life, drawing closer to the Creator, and uncovering the deeper meanings and hidden treasures in the Hebrew Bible?
Then join me, Rav Yitzhak Michelson.
And me, William Hall.
On The Science of Kabbalah, where we are seeking to narrow the gap between what we understand of our physical and spiritual worlds. So make sure to tune in every Tuesday at 5 p.m. Israel time, 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, here on Israel News Talk Radio.
Welcome back to Science of Kabbalah with Rabbi Yitzhak Michelson and William Hall here on Israel News Talk Radio.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Science of Kabbalah. We're in our final segment here. Before the break, I had mentioned Avodah Zarah 27b in the Talmud, and I finished up with a verse that I think is very interesting. I think you'll find it interesting as well, where we told the story about this person, Ben Dama, that was bitten by a snake, and he wanted to be healed by this heretic, and Rabbi Yishmael would not allow it. And then Rabbi Yishmael finishes and tells him how it was fortunate that he died the way he did at that time and didn't allow himself to be healed. And then it quotes a verse from Ecclesiastes, what we call Kohelet, chapter 10, verse 8. And it says, and who breaks through a fence, a snake shall bite him.
Wow, that is really interesting, because you're talking about breaking through that fence, and you talked about the rabbis setting up fences for us as like a guideline or different ways to help us as we're following Talmud and Torah. And so here you have this person broke through the fence, and now he wants to be treated by an idol worshiper.
Right. And that's exactly the point that we're trying to make. And this is one of the main points that Rabbi Nachman is bringing in this particular Torah, is the importance of recognizing the authority of the rabbis, recognizing that the restrictions that they place on us, these fences or gezerot that we say, were put in place to protect us. Because if we are bitten by the snake of the rabbis, meaning if we come against them, if somebody like a Farrakhan, who doesn't know any better, maybe Hashem will have mercy on him because he's just ignorant. But the people that really need to be careful are the people today, and that's why I'm speaking about this, because not only is this a question of blatant anti-Semitism from people like Farrakhan, but you have this kind of very mild in the background kind of anti-Semitism. Sometimes we see Christian anti-Semitism, or we see anti-Talmudic anti-Semitism from people that don't even realize, the people who have left, for instance, idolatrous faiths, and then they want to attach themselves to Judaism. And then they say, well, I'll follow the written Torah, but that stuff, that Talmud, that stuff, the oral Torah, that's those rabbis that made up their own, it's just right. The words of men.
They don't believe it's true.
They don't believe it's true, and they don't believe that it has authority. Right. It's dangerous.
It's very dangerous. It's interesting. I just had this picture in my head because now we're talking about the two snakes. And all I kept picturing, because you're talking about Farrakhan, and I'm picturing Paro, and I'm picturing in my head when Moshe went and, you know, like threw his staff down, you know, with the two snakes. You had Paro's snake and you had Moshe's snake, Moshe Rabbeinu. And so Moshe's snake swallowed up the other snake because that other snake was dangerous, and Farrakhan is dangerous in the things that he's spreading, the poison.
Absolutely. So Rabbi Nachman goes on in this, and he says, for someone who violates their restrictions, thereby removes the hands of the malachim, he removes the hands of the angels according to how he strays from the words of the rabbis. So he starts off talking about the power of the words of Hashem to create these messengers that are meant for our good, to bring us healing. And in a way, we're not saying that the rabbis are malachim, they're not angels, but they are messengers of Hashem for us. And then he says this, he quotes from Deuteronomy chapter 17, verse 11, and says, this is the meaning of do not stray from the word that they declare to you, either to the right or to the left. So remember when I talked about the rabbis being given authority in the book of Deuteronomy, this is the place that we see it. According to the manner in which he strays. And Rabbi Nachman goes on and he says, if he strays to the right of the path set forth by the rabbis, he removes the right hand of the malach, and it is unable to receive. And if he strays to the left, he removes the left hand from that angel or malach, and it's unable to transmit. And when one of the angel's hands is impaired, this person has no cure, because the grass needed to cure him lacks the power to heal, for no one transmits to it.
Right, so he's receiving judgment.
He's receiving judgment. And basically, it's that tension that goes on, like we said, between the two sides. Now, there's a midrash in Vayikra Rabbah. In Vayikra Rabbah 22.1, Vayikra is Leviticus. And in Vayikra Rabbah, it talks about the idea. It says, Kol HaMitzvah, Shenochi, and it's quoting a verse there from Deuteronomy 8, verse 1. And then it says, Kol kechol devarim ha-devarim, mitzvah ha-mitzvah, mikra mishnah, halachot, talmud, toseftot, agadot, va'afilu mashal tamid, fatik atid lomar lefnei rabo, kulo namru le-Moshe b'Sinai, or b'Sinai. What it's saying there is that everything, that Vayikra Rabbah is saying that everything, the mitzvot, the words, the Mishnah, the Halachot, the Toseftot, the Agadot, all the different things that we received, that people see as the oral Torah, it says, was received Le Moshe B'Sinai, that Moshe received on Mount Sinai. And then we see in, quoting also in Ecclesiastes, we quoted from Ecclesiastes before on this idea of the fence, it says, is there a thing of which someone will say, see this, it is new, it has already been for ages which were before us? This is another verse in Ecclesiastes that's brought to support in Judaism the idea that there's nothing new under the sun, that all of this was given to us, that the fences that the rabbis made were given to us by Moshe at Sinai, that this authority was given to them to teach us. You know, when we're talking about those white donkeys, it's very interesting. There's another story in Masechet Shabbat that talks about donkeys, and it's talking about the rabbis and the authorities of the rabbis. And I'll often hear people say, oh, Rashi this or Rashi that. And I'm like, how does anybody, the same way, it's like kind of like you and I will say, how could you ever say anything bad about Yerushalayim?
Right.
You can never say anything bad about the holy city.
It's amazing.
You talk about these giants of Torah like Rashi and Rambam and Ramban and the Ari HaKadosh, we just observed his Halula, and all of these greats. How do we even think that we can come close to think that our minds are like theirs. So there's a story in Masechet Shabbat that talks about the donkeys of rabbis, where they say that we're not even worthy to be like the donkeys of these rabbis. Like it's trying to make us recognize that there's a place for everybody, that we all have a place. We're all important. Hashem loves us all. We're all created by Hashem. But we have to recognize our place, that we're not Rashi. We're not Rambam. We're not Ramban. That as much as we learn, and there are great Talmidei Chachamim in this world today. There are great rabbis that have incredible learning. But if you talk to them, a real Talmid Chacham, they will tell you, compare myself to Rashi?
Right.
Compare myself to Ramban? Compare myself to Rambam? Compare myself to Rabbi Nachman? Chas v'shalom. God forbid that any one of us would ever think that we even come close to any one of them.
We need to be satisfied and content with what Hashem has given us and continue in following Talmud and Torah and be the best self that we can be.
Right. So really it comes back full scale to the idea that we see all of these things going on. There's anti-Semitism, and I just don't get this anti-racist thing that's turned into anti-Semitism, but it really comes back to the nation of Israel. It really comes back to this really left-wing move to come against the nation of Israel, to come against the concept of Zionism, and to somehow support this notion that a group of people who have always been Arab peoples from other countries, somehow in 1967, when Arafat decided to call them something else, that somehow they have this everlasting culture, and in calling Israel an apartheid state, telling us that we're committing genocide against the people. The people, you have to have an ethnicity to commit genocide, people. So this is a warning to those people out there. Don't buy into this nonsense. You're seeing all these people, stars, Ice Cube, Farrakhan, football players. Ice Cube, the rapper, chose to advance the cause of George Floyd by doing what? By posting a caricature of a Jewish figure with the caption, "All we have to do is stand up against them and their little game is over," as if somehow presenting this same kind of hatred that was presented by the Nazis in the 1930s to incite hatred and violence against the Jews is the right thing to do. They need to be warned that the same way that they're spewing their vile poison, that they're slithering around like snakes and coming against Israel and coming against the Jewish people, that there's a snake bite greater than the poison that they're spewing. And it's the snake bite of our rabbis, because we are not Talmudic, satanic Jews. What we are is a people who have been protected by Hashem. When you read in the book of Bereshit, Genesis chapter 12, "I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse those who curse you." And so there is power in words, and there's power in the snake bite of the rabbis. So I would encourage people to take a step back and to realize that anti-Semitism today is not connected to anti-racism, and watch out for snakes, people, because you will get bitten. We've run out of time as usual. We're here every week on the Science of Kabbalah and IsraelNewsTalkRadio.com. Shalom.
Where can you get the inside news on Israel? At Israel News Talk Radio, we're dedicated to sharing Israel's inside story with the world by providing our listeners with news on Israeli politics, current affairs, and Israeli Jewish culture. The Israel News Talk Radio homepage also provides you, the listener, with useful information at your fingertips, with scrolling news headlines, weather, currency exchange, Shabbat candle lighting times, and so much more. Our radio programming is always accessible and on demand. We operate absolutely free of charge for everyone, everywhere. If you love what we do, partner with us now by becoming an Israel News Talk Radio supporter. With your support, you'll be inscribed on our Israel News Talk Radio Wall of Fame. There's nothing like us in the world. Be part of something great. Israel News Talk Radio, straight talk from Israel.
Howdy, this is Rita from League City, Texas, now living in Israel. And though my heart may have belonged to Texas, it now belongs to Israel and all the fantastic show hosts at Israel News Talk Radio.
Hi, this is Michael Solomon from Kiryat Arba, Israel. And why do I love listening to Israel News Talk Radio? Because I love listening to the interesting interviews they do and their news reporting that most other media sources don't cover.
Hey, this is Nicole Eko from Malmo, Sweden. It gets pretty cold here in Sweden, so I love cuddling up with a warm cup of tea while I listen to Israel News Talk Radio.
Hey, everybody, this is Frank Morris from Tennessee. Me and my dog Buster really love listening to Israel News Talk Radio.
You're listening to Israel News Talk Radio.
News, opinion, and more. You're listening to Israel News Talk Radio.